This is the opening kickoff on the country's first FM all-sports radio station, 105.5 FM WNSP and WNSP.com. The latest sports, news, traffic, weather, and timely guests with Mark Heim and Lee Shermanian. The opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
All right, 6:02. Welcome into another edition of the opening kickoff. Mark and Lee in the studios of WNSP for the next 3 hours right here on the sports station. We got plenty to get to. Might have a giveaway or two, and we'll talk to you guys. 694-1055. And of course, you can get us in the app at WNSP.com. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Good morning, Nick. Good to be back at the studio. Nice and cozy and warm compared to outside. All right, we got quite an interesting lineup of stories to talk about today, and we'll get more in depth. J.J. Watt's announcing his retirement. That will lead to a Chick-fil-A question coming up at 6:50. He's, I would guess, a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, but you know, I don't make those decisions. Luka Doncic had a heck of a game, a historic game last night. We'll talk about that. We have some audio on that. But the story I wanted to start out with, Mark, because this always inspires conversation, and it's what happened in the Birmingham Bowl yesterday. The game was won by East Carolina. Nice outing for their quarterback, who had 5 touchdown passes, counted for 6. East Carolina beat Coastal Carolina. But what happened in this game, Grayson McCall, 3-time All-Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year, outstanding player, he announced a while back that he was entering the transfer portal. He did, but he decided to play in the game last night, and he got hurt. And it happened in the second quarter. I think you could probably YouTube it. You may have already seen it. He dashed 9 yards for a touchdown, kind of got submarined, fell on his head, and that was the last he played in the game. Now, the interim coach up there is not sure what the injury is, but it said it was upper body. But again, it leads to that year-round question, should you play or should you not, especially in this case where he wasn't coming back to Coastal Carolina. And I'm not prejudging. To be honest with you, I give him some credit for staying with his team, even though he has entered the transfer portal and probably was going to or is going to visit other campuses. But you don't know now the extent of this injury. And will others look at this and say, oh, well, I guess I better not play. You know what I mean? Because that'll be, you know, that makes the rounds. So I thought that was a story that maybe we could pounce upon. He was going to be in demand as a transfer portal quarterback. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope for the best for him. He's a really, really good player.
You know, I don't really have a hard stance on this one way or the other. I do feel like if you're a surefire first-round draft pick and you're not playing for anything, meaning a college football playoff, it's probably in your best interest to sit out. With that said, as a fan, I'm looking forward to seeing Will Anderson and Bryce Young play this week one last time for their college team. So I'm never going to hate on a guy or be critical of a guy who's doing the right thing. Grayson McCall did the right thing. Does it always pay off? Was it the smart thing? Maybe not, but I still believe it's the right thing. You make a commitment to the team. The team makes a commitment to you. You're seeing that commitment through to the very end. So I'm never going to be critical, I think, of a guy who plays in a meaningless game, or at least viewed as a meaningless game by people outside that program. I'm sure that game meant a lot to him and to his teammates. It's unfortunate that it happens, and I hate that we have to have this conversation because I think it takes away from the college football game.
Do you know what's really unusual about this is that he's already basically left the team by entering the portal, but then came back to play, which I admire. To be honest with you, I was really shocked to see him out there. I thought he was gone, but I have no problem with him playing either, but I just think Others will look at this and say, well, see what happens.
I think the other thing is, are you committed to this team or not? Because if you're committed to this team, you should play. But as you pointed out, if you're headed to the transfer portal, then clearly you're not committed to this team. So in some ways, him playing, it could be viewed as very selfish, that you're just out there to play for you. You're clearly not out for the best for your team. Your team could be giving another guy reps all week for bowl prep, could be getting him ready for next year. The bowl could be, you know, meaningful snaps for the next guy, if there is a next guy. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, like if you're not coming back, then what are you doing out there? So there is that line of thinking. I think that's fair.
You don't have the head coach there anymore. He's gone. He's gone to Liberty. It really surprised me that he played. And I'm not knocking him for playing, but if you're in the portal, who plays? I mean, I don't know if that's happened before. When you've entered the portal, I mean, do we expect JV, well, he's already transferred to Miami, Cohen, to be out there for Alabama on Saturday? No. I'm just not aware of players that enter the portal and then still play for the team. And I'm not knocking him for it. I'm just saying it's a very unusual situation. Much like the Knicks game yesterday, my Knicks, who had been doing so well lately, they got a 9-point lead with about 30 seconds to go at Dallas. Luka Doncic goes to the free throw line, end of regulation, and I don't remember exactly whether it was, let's see, they were down by, I guess, 3 points, two, whatever.
They were down three.
And so he makes the first free throw, purposely misses the second. So were the Knicks to get the rebound? Nowhere. Doncic grabs the rebound, forces up a shot. It goes in. They go extra time. Dallas wins. He has the most historic triple-double line of all time. 60 points, 20 rebounds, something like that, 21 rebounds. And double-digit assists. It's the greatest triple-double line. James Harden once had 60, but he didn't have that number of rebounds when he had the 60 points. I think he had it for Houston. But just an incredible showing for the 23-year-old Doncic, who, Mark, just seems to be getting better and better. I mean, he's an incredible talent out there. And you would think the Knicks, who couldn't guard him in the fourth quarter, would at least know that the guy's going to miss the free throw. Doncic actually thought they won the game when he hit that basket, but then he was told they had to go to overtime. So he took over in overtime.
Well, the best part of that play, and Nick, you could probably talk to this too, because I know you've seen that play, is when he hits the free, when he hits the shot, which was not an easy shot, I might add, dude just like was so pumped. He almost looked like he was having a seizure out there as they were all kind of getting aligned for their defense there for that last second. He just couldn't, like, he just didn't have a way to express what, he didn't have time to express the reaction that play warranted.
Yeah, he looked like a little kid on Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, he was all pumped up, and but I do think that, to your point, Lee, I think that was more of a case of the Knicks losing at that point than the Mavs winning. I mean, it was a heads-up play by Luka, don't get me wrong, but... Well,
two Knicks ended up touching that ball on the rebound.
Yeah.
And they hit it out of each other's hands and into Luka's hands.
Yeah. And that was after another Knick had actually touched it. So I think three Knicks had touched it. Now, when the first guy had touched it, he and a Mavs player both went up and kind of made contact. It bounced to those two guys. They couldn't grab it. And then Luka grabs it, and looks like it's a fall-away shot there. In fact, he didn't even come down. He just all in one jump grabbed it. Kind of
like when you tip someone in 21.
Exactly. Exactly. And then it only left a second. I mean, only if they had a timeout left.
So he's thinking they won the game, but then they go overtime. And then sometimes emotions take over, and you think you've won the game, but you haven't. And yet he takes over in overtime. I mean, he just literally took over in overtime, which is the mark of a great, great player. So a very – look, it's one of 82 games, big deal, right? But, I mean, you're on the road, you're winning by 9 with 30-something seconds to go, and you lose like that. And, yeah, I know, well, you know, you're rebounding, you get tipped away and all that kind of stuff. But still, isn't anybody boxing him out? Don't they box
nobody,
out anymore?
Boxed the shooter. Not a single guy.
See, I always thought
shooter.
That was part of the deal. That
yes.
somebody gets in his way. Mark, you're the coach. Don't you tell your guys to do that?
Every single time you tell them to box the shooter.
Okay.
There wasn't even... They only had two guys in the lane. I'm sorry, they had four guys in the lane. But it looked like the two right underneath the goal, they boxed the guys right next to them. And so the other two guys looking like they would pinch... So, but nobody boxed Luka, which ultimately was the difference.
Yeah.
I think the Eastern Europeans may be taking over the NBA. Luka, Jokic, those are the two best players in the NBA right now.
All right. Speaking about basketball, Baker goes on the road in that Huntsville City Classic, whatever. They got a lot of good teams up there, and they won their first game yesterday. Now, again, I'm not a coach, but it seems to me, based on the score, they had a much easier time in that game than they did getting there. I talked to our guest coming up at 7, head coach Armstrong. He was driving the bus, and he told me it was snow, icy conditions. Cars were sliding on and off the road. It was kind of a harrowing experience
to get
up there. So, and what's equally unusual about this, and we'll talk to him. I don't know all the details. I'm not familiar with this tournament, but they play at 9 today, Mark. And he said if they win today, they also play another game today. They could wind up playing as many as 4 games. Now we got another really good basketball tournament down here, right at Spring Hill College today.
Yeah, the Gulf Coast Holiday Classic gets started today. 16 teams, 2 brackets, a number of local teams. In fact, a majority of local teams with a few out-of-town teams that get started today. And then I think Gulf Shores actually has a basketball tournament going on as well. So plenty of local high school basketball, and we'll be talking a lot about that moving forward.
Yeah, we got another talking about the players' movement. Alabama added to their class the tight end out of Maryland, C.J. Dipper, transfers to Alabama. He visited Tuscaloosa, visited Ohio State, so he gives him a tight end down the road. He's supposed to be really, really good. That just keeps adding and building to his Nick Saban's incredible class. Wake Forest, one of their all-time quarterbacks, Sam Hartman, he just competed in the bowl game. He's transferring, and all reports have him going to Notre Dame. This is the same Sam Hartman has been in that program something like 4 years and has passed for over 13,000 yards and 110 touchdowns. So there's that. We'll be following that. And another interesting story, too. We've seen recently a movement where former NFL players are getting head coaching jobs in college. The latest is Ed Reed, Pro Football Hall of Famer, all right? He has been hired at Bethune-Cookman. And I think with the success of Deion Sanders that maybe some of these players, even without much coaching experience, we saw Trent Dilfer get the UAB job. Never had college coaching experience. He's been a high school coach. I didn't look in the resume for Ed Reed to see. I think he was a consultant for an NFL team this past year. Obviously, his resume star-studded in the NFL. So we've got Reed now, Bethune-Cookman. You got Deion up at Colorado. Trent Dilfer will be coaching UAB. And then I remember, was it Eddie George is still a head coach in one of those historically black
Tennessee State.
Yeah. So it seems to be kind of a movement now to give opportunities to former great players, even if they don't have that extensive resume of starting as graduate assistants, interns, and so forth.
Ed Reed was part of the support staff at Miami.
University?
Yeah.
All right.
And Reggie Theus is Bethune-Cookman's AD and basketball coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That brings back memories. I was doing a Rutgers-UNLV game at the old Spectrum many, many years ago, Mark, back in the 70s. Reggie Theus was a standout for UNLV. He came in for a slam dunk. The ball hit the iron, and came all the way out to midcourt. I have never seen a missed dunk go that far out like his was. It bounced all the way. It didn't bounce. It flew out to midcourt. He came in with such intensity and velocity.
Nothing shocks me about this game.
And that drew rim.
Welcome back in. Short segment here as we went long in our opener, but wanted to mention Pro Football Talk. Actually, Sean Payton started trending yesterday on Twitter. There's some talk, and it's just talk and speculation, that Sean Payton could return to coaching, which is not the speculative part, but he could be returning back to his whole stomping grounds with the one and only Tom Brady. What say you, Lee Shervanian?
Well, you know, this was a hot rumor back when, and I think Miami got hit with tampering on this. Brady and Peyton were rumored to be aligning to go to Miami. What was it, 2 years ago, Mark, I think? And that didn't pan out at all. There was talk about that. And I think Miami did get hit with tampering on this, or whoever even started the rumor. So you're saying that Peyton would come back to the Saints?
Armed with one free and quarterback Tom Brady.
You know what? I don't care who he comes back with. I'd love to see Sean Payton back with the Saints, especially after what's happened this year. Brady would be, what, about 46? And he's not had a very good year. I mean, let's face it. He really hasn't. You could talk about the distractions he's had. You could talk about the team, the lack of offensive line play because of all the injuries. But if you've watched him play, his throws have not been what they once were, and you wouldn't expect it to be. The guy's 45. I wouldn't have a problem with it if Peyton came back. Somehow, some way, I have a lot more confidence in him coaching than I do Dennis Allen.
Wishful thinking, man. Just get ready for the rebuild. Just accept it. It's going to be okay.
Someone sounds nervous
over
there.
He does. He sounds like, you know, in that movie.
Aren't you the guy that's been hating on Tom Brady's game all year?
Yes.
And now you're twisting your own reality to think that that's going to be a good thing if he comes in place for you.
And so what's your point, Nick?
He sounds like, you know, in the movie Elf, when the, I don't want to use the word. He runs across the table.
The South Pole Elf.
Yeah. That's like... This sounds like a disgruntled Falcon fan.
They would be better. You'd be better at coach and better at quarterback, and therefore better as a team.
Yeah, you'd be better at coach. I know that.
Man, just bless your little heart, man. I hope it all works out for you.
Is he under contract still to the Saints?
Who?
Peyton. Because.
Looking in, flicks it in, and a touchdown into the hands of Jalen Johnson, who holds on.
All right, 6:32. Welcome back in, Mark and Lee from the studios of WNSP.
All right, one of the touchdown passes yesterday by the top offensive player of the day was Holton Ahlers, quarterback, East Carolina. Counted for 6 touchdowns in the 53-29 win over Coastal Carolina. We are very privileged this morning to be joined by Jeremy Reeves, the former Jag, who's with the Washington Commanders. And if you missed the story last week, he was named to the special teams of the NFL Pro Bowl. They're getting ready for meetings coming up shortly. They're still in contention for a playoff. Jeremy, congratulations for you and to the Commanders. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I appreciate it.
Was there any Christmas present you got that exceeded the news when you were named to the Pro Bowl?
Other than waking up and taking breath that morning, I don't think so. No, sir.
So I'm curious, and we talked about this in the video, and a lot of people were watching it when you were when you got the news. But like, there is no actual Pro Bowl game. So what will you? Do you know what you'll be doing when you go out there to? I guess it's Vegas.
They gave us a packet with like the different events that'll be going on out there, but. have no idea, honestly, how that format of it all works. Obviously, this is my first rodeo, so I guess I'll learn as I go.
I think this is the first rodeo for many players going out there because, like I say, you don't have an actual game. There is like a 7-on-7 game, I think. You're quite a survivor in the NFL. You want to take us through your resume and the fact that you're still on an NFL team? You've bounced around with a few teams and the perseverance you've shown?
I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. I just, you know, didn't quit throughout my process. I've been cut 4 times. I came into the league undrafted. Actually, I've been cut 5 times. I came in undrafted. And the only thing I can say I didn't do is just I didn't quit. So, I mean, that's pretty much been my journey. And that's kind of a testament to, you know, everything that I had to go through to get to where I'm at.
Jeremy Markheim, thanks for jumping aboard with us. How shocked or were you shocked at the reaction that viral video got of you getting the news that you made the Pro Bowl? Millions and millions of people have viewed that video.
I'm not really surprised, honestly, because I'm just a regular person like everybody else. So everything that I experience in life, other people do too. So I think it was something that just a lot of people can relate to. You know. On an everyday basis, we all kind of fight our own battles and deal with our own trials and tribulations. So I think that was something that everybody could relate to on a, you know, personal level, as far as just, you know, overcoming something that they've been through in life and finally getting to that moment what they wanted.
We're talking with Pensacola native and former South Alabama player Jeremy Reeves. Jeremy, should we be surprised that the Washington is in the hunt for a playoff? In fact, I think right now if they started, you'd be the 7th seed. Can you bring us up to date on the status of this ball club? And should we be surprised that you guys are in the hunt?
No. I mean, we're a good team. We have a lot of good players. We have good coaching, a little good scheme. And so I don't think anybody should be surprised. And I don't think very many people are surprised. You know, we've earned it. The right to be here, so now we just got to go out there, execute, and earn the right to stay here.
Well, I'll say this. You've certainly had a lot of, not you yourself, but a lot of adversity with this team. You talk about the off-the-field issues with the owner, the running back, and that's quite a story in its own right. Robinson coming back, you know, from the shooting. How has he been playing since he came back from all the gunshot wounds?
He's been playing really good, man. He's hungry. He's a young guy. He's eager, he's anxious, you know. He wants to prove that he belongs here. And then he wants to prove that that didn't set him back. So, you know, he's been getting after it, man. And I have the utmost respect for him just because of what he went through. You know, he gives you no excuses when you think about it in hindsight, a guy who went through what he did and he came back in about a month and was playing football again. I mean, that speaks to him and his character and somebody that you had to go to war with as a teammate.
You know, repeating that you're on the NFL Pro Bowl as a special teams player, do you ever get to play on defense at all?
Here?
Yeah, with Washington. Do they ever put you in on defense?
Oh, yeah. I started last week. We had a guy banged up, so I was starting last week on defense. So, yeah, I play defense a lot this year, honestly, but I've made most of my plays and I've got most of my recognition on special teams, which is basically another defensive snap.
Yeah, and it seems to me, why don't you tell us some of the contributions you made to the special teams this year?
You know, just trying to be a leader, leading a unit. We're pretty young. We have some veteran guys, but for the most part, we're a fairly young team as it is. So just kind of taking the things that I've learned from guys before me, like Cesar Everett and you know, such things, aces like that, and, you know, being myself and just trying to, you know, show these guys, you know, hey, like, we can get this done. This is how we do it. You know, not just, like, walking or but you got to, or not just talking, but you got to walk it, too. So, that's it. The rest of it is just football. You know, I was going out there and playing ball and doing what I've been doing since I was a kid.
Cleveland Browns this week, you're home, and then you got Dallas. Talk about the effect that Ron Rivera, the head coach, because I think he's really the glue to this team, has kept this team together. And just talk about what effect and impact he has on Washington as you hope to win these final 2 games and get into the postseason.
He's had a huge effect, honestly. He came in, you know, with a situation that he probably wasn't, you know, expecting. And then he said that he was going to turn things around. And so he's done, you know, everything he said he would. You know, this is also a guy that came in 2020 during the pandemic, also found out he had cancer, and still came up here every day, no excuses, and battled his butt off and showed up to work and you know, coached us. So he's a guy, he's the glue, you know, not just on this, not just in the locker room, but I think the whole organization all around, you know. So he's a guy that makes it easy to play for him. And, when you get the opportunity, you want to go out there and absolutely ball out for him just because of everything he's been through and had to deal with. And, you know, it's not easy. You know it's not. He doesn't talk about it, but you know it's not. So,
are you a big fan of going out on New Year's Eve because you have a game the next day against the Cleveland Browns? Do they put a curfew on the team New Year's Eve?
I mean, we have a curfew regardless, but I'm not a big go out New Year's Eve. That was when I was a kid. I'm kind of older now. I'm just happy to see another day, much less another year.
Jeremy, it's great stuff, man. Congratulations on all the success. We know you're certainly not satisfied, but a lot of folks around here are rooting for you, and it was great to see you make the Pro Bowl. Congratulations. We wish you the best of luck moving forward.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. It's Jeremy Reeves, ladies and gentlemen. Really a cool story. And we appreciate him spending some time with us here on WNSP.
If you're going to be attending any of the events of the Senior Bowl, you're not going to have any problems finding an Alabama player. Jordan Battle is the 9th player now added to the roster. It's the second highest total ever of Alabama players, and they're still out there, maybe, maybe not, Bryce Young, but 9 players is quite a few, as the most I can remember since I've ever been following the Senior Bowl. So I'm sure fans will be happy to come out and root for that. Mark, you mentioned about Sean Payton, and, you know, I gave it some thought. The thing I'm not aware of, and I don't think it matters, but do the Saints, is he still under contract? Because if he is, and let's say he goes to a different team, then there might have to be compensation or something worked out. Not that that's a big deal. But all the rumors, and again, they're just rumors. You just don't know what to believe. Had him look, you know, well, he's going to go to a Los Angeles team, or should he go to Denver now? So that's the first one that popped up about him coming back to the Saints in tandem with Tom Brady.
Sean Payton, Saints have the rights to Sean Payton until 2024, according to a quick Google search that I had just done. All I'm saying is the Saints you can't argue the Saints wouldn't be better. You'd be better at coach, and Tom Brady, even at the age of 46, would be better than Andy Dalton, and clearly better than Jameis Winston, who couldn't even see the field once Andy Dalton took his job. So,
with what money do y'all have to pay Tom Brady, though? Aren't y'all in cap hell?
Yes. But it's not about the money.
So
it's about
probably
the ring.
Make some trades, right? Trade away some important pieces.
Don't
some
bring me down.
Guys making some big contracts to bring in 47-year-old Tom Brady, now playing on a worse roster than what you have now.
Trade Michael Thomas.
I'm not sure if Brady would come over if there was no Michael Thomas, though.
How about if he could get Gronkowski
is there a
to
Michael
come
Thomas?
Out of retirement? How about if he could get Gronk to come out of retirement, be your tight end? You already got that. Chris Olave's had a terrific year. I don't know about Kamara's status. Don't forget, he's still got that case going on in Vegas. So far, you know, nothing's happened from that, but there will be something happening once they actually go to trial.
Yeah. As of October 25th, it appears the Saints were just a little more than $3.6 million under the cap at around number 20 around the league. Sure, he would come over for 3.5.
Sure.
For 1 year.
The fun he could have in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's a more adventurous city than Tampa.
Yeah. No, they have serious salary cap issues, and making this work would require them to make some dramatic changes. And the question is, would those dramatic changes, if this was, and we're half kidding, but this is the rumor out there. I mean, do I think this is going to happen? No, I don't. But would those dramatic changes needed to bring in a Tom Brady ultimately be the reason why Tom Brady says, nah, I'm going to pass on that? I think there's a good possibility of that, right? Because in order to bring him in, you'd have to let go some pretty high-priced guys. And the whole reason Brady would even consider it is because it would get him one step closer to another, another Super Bowl. Now, this was the scuttlebutt going into Breeze's final year, was that Brady was looking for a team, and the thought process was Breeze was going to retire, and Brady would come in as a free agent and just kind of pick up where Breeze left off. That didn't happen. Breeze, decided to stay another year. He got hurt in that year. He was never really 100% moving forward in that second half of that season.
If you look back in the history of the NFL where coaches under contract have moved on, usually that team would wind up with a first rounder or at worst a second rounder. I think about Belichick. I think about Parcells. Coaches who have created controversy by leaving under contract. So at the very least, the Saints would come out of this with a pretty good draft pick, I would think, if Peyton decides to go to California or somewhere else. With all the rumors going around, I don't know what to believe. I hope he comes back to the Saints, but I'm with you, Mark. I kind of doubt it. I kind of see him going out to the West Coast. And, of course, don't forget Dallas. Don't forget Dallas is always in the mix about Peyton going back to Dallas.
Sean Payton's going to go to Indianapolis.
No way.
Chick-fil-A. I could eat there 7 times a day. Where the people laugh and children play. Oh, I'm in love with Chick-fil-A.
All right, boys and girls, here's your chance. Lee Trevanian. Hit him one time, boy.
All right, let's give away a Chick-fil-A gift card. You'd pick it up here at the radio station between 8:30 and 4. J.J. Watt is one of only 2 NFL players ever in his career to catch multiple touchdown passes and multiple pick sixes for touchdowns. Who was the other? Who was the only other player in NFL history that caught multiple touchdown passes and also scored on pick sixes multiple times? J.J. Watt, one of them, and he goes out with a terrific career. He's got 2 more games to go. He's most of his career with Houston, much acclaimed, defensive player of the year honors now and then, and one of 3 Watts brothers playing in the NFL. But if you know the answer, 694-1055, because Nick is waiting. He knows the answer.
All right. Coming up, David Armstrong, David Green, Mike Haas, Chris Stewart, Roy Hudson, Connor O'Gara. We're going to be busy today. Got some bowl games for you. You got a winner already?
We do have a winner. David, before you even got the question out your mouth.
Wow. Great stuff as we get ready for the New Year's. That's Deion Sanders. Played some offense as well as defense. And J.J. Watt. They're the only 2.
We got some, we might start be getting to the point now where we got some interesting bowl games, today, Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl, Military Bowl, Duke today starts things off at 1 o'clock in Central Florida. So, Riley Leonard will be in action, and then Oregon and Bo Nix, in the Holiday Bowl against UNC at 7 o'clock tonight. And then Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin and the Lane Train against Texas Tech tonight at 8 o'clock. So, some bowl games there. Cool stuff.
Catch any of them yesterday?
No. I can't get into bowl games.
I can't either.
I just can't do it.
Now, I actually tuned in, believe it or not, and in real time and saw the injury to Grayson McCall as he ran for the touchdown. But I'd go maybe a minute or two, and usually, I tell you, I twice tried to get to 100 games, and they'd be at the halftime. So, I see a minute or two, but I'm with you. And again, there's you don't even know who's playing. You know, a lot of the guys, I say a lot, a few guys, some of the better players aren't playing. Portal, transfers, things like that. Ole Miss tonight, it's probably going to be too late for me. Like, they're playing Texas Tech. I think that's going to start a little after 8 o'clock tonight. Arkansas and Kansas, that's kind of a once-to-be rivalry that, you know, when they don't usually play each other anymore. So that might have some interest. But the one I want to watch is Riley Leonard, to be honest with you. to go home because it's an early game. Central Florida, they Gus Malzahn's team, but it's I'd like watching our local players.
I've told you all this in the past. There are guys out there that, ooh, football's on. I'm going to watch it. No, I got to have some sort of vested interest. There's got to be a reason for me to watch a game.
Well, you're a Riley Leonard fan, but you're not going to be available then because you got basketball today.
I do have, me personally, I don't have basketball. But yeah, it's a little earlier than the basketball. But yes, I mean, I might tune in and see how Riley's doing, but I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of interesting games that I don't have. I'm just not one of those guys. There are many of you out there that if football is on, you're going to watch it because it's football. I'm just not one of them. Are you one of those guys, or do you have a vested interest, Nick?
I have not watched a down of a bowl game yet.
Like ever or this season?
This year,
yeah.
Probably last year too, if we want to combine them both.
There has to be a Lane Kiffin story coming out tomorrow on AL.com. You're the can do it, so you better watch that tonight.
Well, if he makes some reference to Alabama or Nick Saban, or you know, somebody throws a bottle of mustard at him, and you know, maybe there will be.
It's hoop season for me, Mark Heim.
Right. Okay. It is technically after Christmas, so we need to and we've started talking about the NBA. It's almost like on cue.
Right. Luka pulled that game out. He knew that it was time for us to talk about it.
Yep.
Thank you.
But so did Luka. I guess Luka won it. I'm just thinking the Knicks really kind of screwed the thing up right there.
When you blow a 9-point lead with about 32, 33 seconds to go, yeah, I think you could point the finger at the Knicks. Coaching, players. Yeah, that's fair.
The Knicks are just famous for letting players that were drafted in the top five in the 2018 draft go off on them and beat them in historic fashion. I'm talking about Luka and Trae Young.
Of course
Trae
you
got
are.
Trae got hurt yesterday.
Little calf injury.
He's going to be okay.
You know, they're talking about trading Trae Young. I don't know if y'all seen those rumors.
Well, I think Sean Payton would come back to the Saints if Trae Young was part of the package.
Send him out to where? New Orleans? The Pelicans or the Saints?
I think the Saints need him more than anybody right now.
Hey, he's a good passer.
Dave Armstrong next. Baker Hornets up in Huntsville. It's the opening kickoff. Stay with us.
Satisfying your